As Metshonat Leveyo said, the strong overcome the opponents, the mighty crush them, the shrewd outwit them, the cowardly hide from them, but the enlightened transcend them. Welcome to A Walk Within, a show where we visit a short story from around the world and revisit my life experiences invoked by it to explore the parallels between the two and find newer meanings. I'm Anoop, and in this penultimate episode of the season, we will conclude the Celtic fairy tale, The Sea Maiden, from the book Celtic Folk and Fairy Tales, selected and edited by Joseph Jacobs, and why it made me think about transcendence. Before we start, I want to thank all the listeners for their tremendous support of the show. We'll begin the story with a quick recap once we are back. This is a heavily edited version of the story. As I said in previous episode, I've added and changed one event in my attempt to make the story, at least to me, more fulfilling. I highly recommend you read the story in its original form. We'll begin the story with a quick recap.
What reward would you give me for sending plenty of fish to you? Will you give me the son you have?
I would give you that were I to have a son.
Everything happened as the sea maiden said, but when the end of the 20 years was nearing, the son asked his father one day,
"Is anyone troubling you?"
His father told him at last how the matter was with him and the sea maiden.
You shall not go, my son. If you will not let me go with you, I will go seek my fortune somewhere else.
And he took the world for his pillow. When he went on a bit, and there were a great black dog, a falcon, and an otter, and they were quarreling over the spoil, so they asked him to divide it for them.
"For this, remember me, and I will be at your side," said the dog.
"Think of me, and I will be at your side," said the otter.
"Mind me, and I will be at your side,"
said the falcon. After a while, he reached a king's house, and he took service to be a herd. He went away with the cattle.
"Hi-ho, Agark, those cattle are mine."
The herd drew back his sword, and the head was off the giant in a twinkling. He went back to the king's house. The dairymaid said,
"There is a great beast with three heads in the lake, and it must get someone every year. And this year the turn is on the king's daughter."
"The king has said that he who could save his daughter should get to marry her."
Next day, the king's daughter went to meet the beast. The hero of the black horse came. But no matter, he took the third head off the beast and gave it to her.
"You are my man."
And thus it happened, and they married that same day. They were sauntering by the side of the loch, and lo and behold, she came and took him away to the loch without leave or asking. And now, the story continues. The king's daughter was now mournful, tearful, blind sorrowful for her married man. She was always with her eyes on the loch. An old soothsayer met her, and she told how it had befallen her married mate. Then he told her the thing to do to save her mate, and that she did. She took her harp to the seashore and sat and played. And the sea maiden came up to listen, for sea maidens are fonder of music than all other creatures. But when the wife saw the sea maiden, she stopped. The sea maiden said,
"Play on."
But the princess said,
"No, not till I see my man again."
So the sea maiden put up his head out of the water. Then the princess played again and stopped till the sea maiden put him up to the waist. Then the princess played and stopped again, and this time the sea maiden put him all out of the water. The lad called on the falcon, who grabbed him and flew on shore. But the sea maiden took the princess, his wife. Sorrowful was each one that was in the town on this night. Her man was mournful, tearful, wandering down and up about the banks of the loch by day and night. The old soothsayer met him. The soothsayer told him that there was no way of killing the sea maiden but the one way.
In the island that is in the midst of the loch is the white-footed magical deer of the slenderest legs and swiftest step. And though she be caught, there will spring a hooded crow out of her. And though the hooded crow should be caught, there will spring a trout out of her. But there is an egg in the mouth of the trout, and the soul of the sea maiden is in the egg. And if the egg breaks, she is dead.
Now there was no way of getting to this island, for the sea maiden would sink each boat and raft that would go on the loch. He thought he would try to leap the strait with the black horse, and even so he did. The black horse leaped the strait. On the island, he saw the deer, but when he was on one side of the island, the deer would be on the other side.
Oh dog, if only you were here.
No sooner he spoke the word, the grateful dog was at his side, and he went after the deer, and they were not long in bringing her to earth. But as soon as he caught her, then a hooded crow sprang out of her.
Oh falcon, if only you were here.
The falcon arrived and was after the hooded crow, and she was not long putting her to earth. And as the hooded crow fell on the bank of the loch, out of her jumps the trout.
Otter, if only you were here.
No sooner he said that, the otter was at his side, and out on the loch she leapt and brings the trout from the midst of the water. But as soon as the otter was on the shore with the trout, an egg came from his mouth. The lad sprang and he put his foot on it. It was then the sea maiden appeared.
Break not the egg and you shall get what you ask.
Deliver to me my wife.
The sea maiden heard the pain and anger in his voice.
But if I give her to you, I will be all alone again. All I ever wanted was to have someone to be with me, to feel alive. It capsized in a storm. I don't know when he left my hand. I woke up underwater and could see and breathe like a fish. I searched for him for hundreds of years across the sea, but I could not find him. Of the sea when I was all alone. No one to talk, no one to spend time with. I would show up to different boats and ships, and men would throw their spears at me. I learned that I've changed, and now no one wants to be with me. One day, I decided to get back near the village of my husband. found your father struggling to find fish there. Relying on a man's greed, I offered him help. And in return, I will get you once you come of age. But I see your pain. The pain that I felt of losing my husband. The helplessness. The loneliness. I realize now that I'm inflicting the same pain as the sea caused me. I don't want to be the reason for distance between a husband and a wife.
In the wink of an eye, his wife was by his side. He got hold of her hand in both his hands.
Please step on the egg and put me out of my misery.
The herd stopped. Suddenly, he could not find the courage to kill the sea maiden. He saw a deep sorrow, suffering, and honesty of the request in her blue eyes. The lad stood there for a moment, and finally, he let his foot down on the egg, and the sea maiden died. When the sea maiden shared her story and motivation, the hero had what people call a peak experience. He felt connected to her and kills her not for survival or to save anyone, but out of compassion. Let me give you an example of a peak experience that I had. My wife and I took a 3-day bus tour from New York to go to Philadelphia, Washington DC, and Niagara Falls. It was a hectic itinerary, and by the time we reached Niagara Falls, all the desires of taking pictures, air quote, experiencing the new places, were replaced by getting frustrated at the mildest inconvenience, like bad tasting coffee in the hotel, or a need to take a walk to the viewing deck. On the deck, we got the full view of the falls. It was not underwhelming by any account, but it lacked the awe that I expected. Being a long weekend means the longer lines to get to the Maid of the Mist boat. I almost questioned the need to go on it, but was forced by my wife to go there. While wearing the blue raincoat, it got stuck in something, and I was immobile for 5 seconds. See, these are normal things, but the state of mind I was in made it worse. Anyways, we got on the boat and found a place to stand on the deck. I don't know how, but I felt as if the entire population of a town came on the boat, and there was a sudden hustle and bustle, crying babies, and enthusiastic selfie takers from all ages. I questioned the wisdom of visiting here, but thankfully, the boat started moving. My wife was excited and started pointing at Canadian side boat full of red raincoat wearing people. There was over enthusiastic waving and screams were exchanged between the boats. I was disinterested and was just hoping for a quick release from this nightmare. The thundering sound of the falls started getting louder as we approached the Horseshoe Fall. I put my head up in silence. I could not hear anything. No crying babies. No over-enthusiastic screams. I was hypnotized by the fall. Its sheer size had me dumbfounded. I couldn't think of anything. I cannot describe what I felt. All worries, frustrations, inconvenience vanished. All I could remember is I was there. looking at nature and somehow connected with it. I was not lesser, nor I was greater. I was one with it. That is a peak experience. As Scott Barry Kaufman described in his book Transcend, peak experiences enhances your sense of self and your connection with the world. And all peak experiences have one thing in common: self-loss. It gives you a stronger sense of connectedness to the world, as well as a sense of openness and curiosity. It's an interesting paradox. The more the self fades and merges with the world, the more self-actualized one feels. But can you go higher than these peak experiences? That's where transcendence comes in. In philosophy, the noun transcendence conveyed different but related meanings, all of them derived from the word's literal meaning from Latin of climbing or going beyond, that correspond with ancient, medieval, and modern philosophy. It's an elusive idea and have many meanings to different people. For example, in 1969 paper, Abraham Maslow, well known for his hierarchy of needs, which we discussed in the Sense of Belonging episode, came up with 35 ways to define the term: loss of self-awareness, to acceptance of the natural environment, to experiencing cosmic consciousness, are some of the concepts he touched upon. As Scott describes it, transcendence involves your entire being. It's the ability to look at the multiplicity of human needs in a non-judgmental way and see them as not conflicting, but as part of a harmonious whole. To put simply, it's the realization that you are one small part of a greater whole and acting accordingly. Experiencing transcendence means accepting different perspectives, being open to challenges, and being aware of the inherent uncertainty of human life. In the end, as Matsuona Dlivego said, you are one thought away from intelligence, one word away from kindness, one deed away from excellence, one step away from brilliance, and one second away from transcendence. That's it for this episode. As always, the link to the original story and all the music and sound effects are available in the show notes. Once again, thank you for listening. Until next time, stay as awesome as you are.